Yep.
You guys ready?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to this Tuesday, February 20th meeting of the Board of Garrett County Commissioners. If you please stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Crowell, bow your heads with me. Father God, first of all, we admit that we do not understand the up and down temperatures and weather that we have had, but Lord, we are going to just say thank you for this beautiful day that we've been able to enjoy it. We pray, Father, your blessing on each person, each family represented here, but especially on the commissioners, on their work. Lord, continue to make them a blessing to the region. Give them the wisdom that they need, the peace inside that they need, the unity that they need. We also pray, Father God, for our national leaders, especially with what's happened recently in Florida. Lord God, would you please pour out your grace and your mercy on all those families that have suffered. Give wisdom to our leaders as they try to come up with things that would help prevent this. Most of all, Father God, we pray your spirit would be working in the hearts of men and women so that these kind of things wouldn't happen again. All these things we lay before you with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Nolan, any additions, deletions, or corrections to the public meeting agenda?
No, sir, there is not.
Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the meeting agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. The meeting agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, or concerns with the minutes? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve minutes.
Motion to approve minutes.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Minutes are approved by mutual consent. All right, the first item on the agenda today is the Run For It event update by the Tucker Community Foundation and Kelly Stadelman, the director.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. I was a reporter once, so I understand. I know where to get the. I know who gets the information out to people. But thank you so much for letting me speak here today. Run For It's entering its 12th year, and thank you for participating. You guys have participated in Run For It for at least the last 4 years since 2014. During that time, you've invested $3,000, and your return on investment has been $25,000. And that $25,000 has been here in Garrett County. Run For It is a program, for those who don't know, since we have some new faces, but it raises awareness and support for nonprofits. The Tucker Community Foundation serves 8 counties. We have Barber, Grant, Mineral, Preston, Pocahontas, Tucker, Randolph, and Garrett County. And so basically we support nonprofits and civic organizations in any of those counties. And basically it was started in 2007 to promote healthy activity and encourage local philanthropy. It's a 2K walk or a 5K run. And you don't have to be fast. Speed is not required to win. What we do is encourage local nonprofits to form teams and leverage funds in order to get more funds. In 2017, I don't know if you guys had that opportunity to attend, but we had 1,500 racers. It was a banner year for the foundation, and we had a total of 79 teams. And of those, we had 4 teams from Garrett County, but even though there were 4 teams, there were 4 strong teams. We had 122 racers, so outstanding. And one of our teams actually is here today. This is Sherry Crew, and I asked her just to kind of, her team, Kaylee's crew, had 60 participants, and over the years they've participated, that was your second year?
Second year.
Mm-hmm. And Run For It, but they also participate in our grant program and our scholarships program.
So. We want to thank them, they've been very generous. Kelly Giovanni, who's head of Kaylee's crew, could not be with us today, so I am representing her as the chair. The Kaylee Hostetler Ashley Academic Achievement Fund is supporting, in memory of Kaylee Ashby, one of our esteemed colleagues, the college who was tragically killed in an accident. And here, Tucker Community Foundation in Bloodport has really been wonderful for us. They now have a scholarship in Kaylee's memory and in her name. It is endowed, which means it's over $10,000, and it will start awarding scholarships this fall. And it's going to be a GC Book Scholarship for a graduate of Southern High School who participated in the Garrett College Dual Enrollment Program. They have been extremely generous. They brought us together. We had the largest team.
You did.
Yes, like 50 people. Yeah. And it's a great time for us to get together, just get out in the great weather and walk. And actually, they made fun of me last year. It was like it was a 2 mile walk I did, and I did it in flip flops. They said, "You're really going to do it in flip flops?" I said, "Sure, for 2 miles, sure." So, but it's a great camaraderie. It's a wonderful festival, and they really do support. They also support our Students in Need program also, and they've been very generous with our food
camp. With the grants.
So we thank you. We thank the Community Foundation for all your support.
It's fun. It's always fun to give money away. So that it's fun to, and fun to see how it's used in the creative ways. So during the last, since 11 years, our race, we've generated over $1.5 million that's went out back into the local communities to nonprofits. So, you know, our mission of creating resources for the communities we serve, we feel that this race really does serve the people. In the past, the Garrett County Commission's contributed $1,000, and I'm hoping that your budget will allow for an increase this year to $2,000. We're hoping this year, our goal is to get, last year we had four teams from Garrett County, we'd like to double that this year. So we'll be going around talking to some of the libraries and some of the other civic organizations, and maybe the Southern High School or Northern, and to try to get a couple high school groups involved too would be great. We know cross-country programs are always good. People to kind of start with, and then the school learns about the program and how they can get more money for their school programs. And I just put a little cheat sheet in there, a chart, so you can see it, you know, each team, how many people they registered and how much money they won. And last year they brought, the four teams brought back over $6,500 into Garrett County, so job well done. So, but, and this year our goal was to raise $100,000, so. That's last year, I think we were at right around 92,000 that we gave away in awards, and this year we'd like to get that up to 100,000. And the foundation, we do put up 15,000 for awards that teams can win. But do you have any questions, or is there any additional information that I can provide to you?
Thanks for the information.
No problem. Yeah, if you need anything else or any other figures or numbers, I think I even threw in there like our tracking from since 2007, so you can kind of see how we've grown and how much money we've given there.
Thank you
very much.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the Garrett County Department of Planning and Land Management Comprehensive Transportation Plan.
Debbie.
Okay, gentlemen, little correction right off the plat. This is our priority list that we send to MDOT every year. It is their consolidated transportation plan that they do. So what we do is the same thing every other county does. We will send our requests up to them for inclusion into their CTP. That does not mean that it will be included. All we can do is say these are our priorities and they decide whether or not it gets included. Because of this, many projects that are on the list will remain there for years sometimes. And this year is an excellent example. Nothing that was on the list last year was completed. Therefore, it looks exactly the same with some format changes. So before we get into that though, let's talk about the process. So every year we request what the transportation priorities are from the municipalities. We ask Garrett Trails for trail and pedestrian priorities that they have. We ask the Planning Commission and we ask the County Roads Department. After we compile all of those, I give them to you. You guys review it. You can prioritize it. We, of course, discuss it in a public meeting, which is what this is today. It could be revised if needed, and then we send the final letter and list off to MDOT. Because, again, nothing from last year was completed, All the agencies that we solicited this year said their priorities were the same. So, before we review the content of this list, let's talk briefly about the format change. So if you look at last year's list and this year's list, the content is the same, but the format looks a little different. And that is because Chapter 30, which is the part of the law that governs MDOT's CTP process, was modified due to legislation that required ranking of all major transportation projects, and that is defined by all projects over $5 million. Therefore, our process needed to break out those that were anticipated to be over $5 million from those that were going to be under. So that is why there's a format change. You're going to see major transportation projects first and minor second. So let's get into the content of this. We usually send a letter. We have this page here that just lists them, and then we have detail. So there's a whole packet, and the media has it right now. Just briefly explains all of these projects, has a map that is attached to it and all that sort of thing. So the color coding on this, if it's in gray, it came from a municipality that requested it. If it's in green, it came from Garrett Trails. So it just easily, at a glance, tells you where it came from. I have further broken down major transportation projects by development evaluation phase and construction phase. So this is the first year this had to be done this way. And the difficulty is, these are state highway projects. I don't know how much they're going to cost. So will they be over $5 million? I can only guess. So what I've done is, until we know exactly what they're going to cost, they're in development and evaluation. They're in design. SHA basically has to tell us what they're going to cost. So the request then is, you guys look at this. You do design, you do your due diligence, and you figure out where it fits. So the first three we anticipate will be over $5 million, but we're going to put that up into development and evaluation, so they look at design. So number one on that is, I called it Oakland Alternative Truck Route. It's also known as the Oakland Bypass. Been on there for years. At this point in time, it is my understanding, this was a request from Oakland, obviously, and it's my understanding that SHA is looking at design at this point in time. They're going back to the design drawing board. They have 500,000 allotted for 2018 and 500,000 allotted for 2019. And they're relooking at the design. Obviously, there was a design many, many moons ago, but they've got new standards, so they're relooking at the design now. So that's why that one is there. It continues to be there. Number two is the Lachlan Bridge project. This, of course, came from Lachlan. The idea behind that project was they didn't want traffic to go over the train tracks. So if you can picture, if you're coming off 560, there's a sharp 90-degree turn, goes into town, then another sharp one goes down Paul Street. They have right-of-way that goes straight down, so instead of taking that 90-degree turn, you can go straight down. What they would like SHA to do, their request, is to build a bridge there. So that would be the new entrance. So traffic doesn't get stopped at the train tracks. So that's their request. Number three was from Garrett Trails. Now that is part of the overall plan for the why is it leaving my mind right now? Continental Divide Loop. There it is. So in order to get from Myersdale down to Friendsville and then join up with Kempton Trail, at some point you've got to cross the river. So that is for a pedestrian bike bridge is what they're requesting. So those are the three in development evaluation phase for SHA to hopefully look at and look at design and come up with some monetary figure. Construction phase, US 219 North reconstruction relocation. Now this is part of the Appalachian Development Highway System. That is the road that is to connect I-68 with Myersdale. So the highway system that was built to Myersdale, and it is supposed to go all the way to 68. So what is anticipated to happen is this spring, they're supposed to break ground on the breakout project, which will go as far as Old Salisbury Road. Going further than that is not possible because of Pennsylvania not having money allotted to go do the piece from Myersdale down to Pennsylvania line. So we can go as far as Old Salisbury Road. The second half of that is to ask them to go ahead and acquire the right-of-way so that when Pennsylvania is ready, we're ready to continue the road and get it done. So on to minor transportation projects. So these are usually broken out by sections: planning, safety, system preservation, sidewalk and streetscape, trail and pedestrian, and we'll go through them all. So number one under planning priorities goes hand in hand with number one under the major transportation development evaluation, and that's truck corridor feasibility. So we're talking north-south route for trucks through the county, and one of the things that has been spoken about for years is, what about 135, what about 495, can that be upgraded for trucks? And so what our request is to look at the feasibility, where the truck's coming from, what kind of trucks are using our roads, how many of them using sand flat, for example, and what needs to be done to those roads to upgrade it, what's the safest route for trucks to take. Number two, Maryland 495 and Durst Road, functional improvements. That is where the Castleman Underground Mine is located, and it comes out on Durst Road, and that intersection could use some functional improvements to accommodate that kind of traffic, which it didn't obviously have previously. So safety priorities, number one, the request, what was number one's from Grantsville, and that's a crosswalk on Route 40 at Penn Alps. There's that pull-off on the riverside that a lot of people use for go fishing, but now a lot of people are using it to park there to go to Penn Alps, and there's no crosswalk there, so that's dangerous. So that's the number one safety priority. Number two, 495 and Glendale Road intersection. There's been a number of accidents there. Number three, US 219, Kings Run Road and Builder's Way, right out here on the northern end of town. Number four, 135 and Sand Flat Road intersection. Number five, 135 and Turkey Neck Road intersection. All safety improvements. Number six, this one actually came from the Planning Commission. They were asking for a roadway safety audit, which would be a 5-mile stretch of road on Route 42, to look at turning radiuses, entrances and exits. They had some concerns about the safety of that road and the traffic on that road. So the best way to handle that was a safety audit. So that's that request. System preservation priorities. This has been on the list for a number of years. The one at Burger King is a request from Oakland. The one on Oakland Drive is a request from Mountain Lake Park. Both stormwater drain repairs. It is my understanding that SHA District has been looking at that, and hopefully they'll be able to do something this spring. But until it's done, obviously, I keep it on the list. Sidewalk streetscape priorities. Number one came from Oakland, and that's for their streetscape project. It's been on there for a number of years as well. Number two is from Grantsville. It's a sidewalk on Route 40 from the Castleman Bridge Park to River Road. Trail and pedestrian, number one came from Garrett Trails. Pedestrian crossing at US 219 and Mosser Road and the McHenry Trail System, phases 1, 2, and 3. So phase one is from Garrett College down to 219. We have been in discussions with SHA. They are looking at a redesign of the intersection there, and they are in their design working in a pedestrian crosswalk as well. We've also been in discussions with the college, with Garrett Trails, and with us to come up with some sort of cooperative arrangement to move the project along, and SHA has agreed to do the grading on their part of the state highway right-of-way as well. So hopefully we'll be moving phase one along. Phase two is to have a trail that heads south to important points that the students go to, and phase three is to go north. So number two is, it's been on the list for a while. So there are concerns about the pedestrian crossings at Uno's and at Trader's Landing for different reasons, but we get into that in the details. One is more about lighting, another one is about sight distance, and so that's been on the list as well for a while. Number three comes from Garrett Trails to do the connections for the Meadow Mountain part of their trail system. And there's two more transit priorities. Transit service expansion, that is the big nut that we have to crack, and that's going to take a while. There have been in the municipal planning documents, a lot of them have said they would like to have regular bus service. It is expensive proposition to do around here. So it's something that needs to be looked at. Number two, Oakland has been wanting Oakland passenger train service restored to Oakland for a while, and doing a feasibility study for that is that request. Regional transportation priorities, one of my pet peeves, I've always wanted a regional transportation committee. I've talked to them about that before, and SHA, if we get it off the ground, is willing to serve. So that's the list. As I said, everything on there was on there last year. It's just reformatted.
Gentlemen, any questions for Debbie?
Good presentation.
Thank you. Debbie, have you been given any indication from State Highway at all on these projects? Any preliminary thumbs up, thumbs down? You're right, a lot of these have been on here for a long time. We've got a new regime, you know, some of these sidewalk projects, a lot of these intersection improvements. Are we hearing any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent preliminarily?
Well, it depends on what we beat them on over the head with. So stormwater drain, you know, I've been beating them for the last year about that. Like, you know, how hard is that? Come on, you can at least get that. Let me cross something off the list. And like I said, they are going to try to move forward with that in the spring. Some of these requests, like for example, the Oakland project, they met with Oakland, and that's how the design is moving forward on that one. So we know about that. Of course, we know about the 219 North one. You know, on any of these, I can call up anybody and ask what the status is.
I was just curious if in your meetings you've heard any rumblings or any of them.
Yeah.
All right, any questions for Debbie? All right, yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Ruffy. I'm a resident here in Smoking Mirrors Photography at 114 South 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered for the Oakland Bypass if there had been recent average daily traffic counts and what those were. What the level of service is on 219, is the level of service
not
B or
sure.
C or?
Those are questions for a state highway. I can certainly find them out for you.
Yes.
But curious. And I know that goes into their design.
Right, and also you referred to their consolidated transportation plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the equivalent of a state transportation improvement
yes.
program instead?
Yes.
Okay, so then the funding, do they provide you guys with a regular update of their STIP? Do they do that quarterly?
In October. They usually come and they do a CTP tour, and they have this big thick document, and usually that's where they let us know that they've allotted so much money for certain projects.
Is it online somewhere? Do they update it?
I think so. Usually going online is, you know, sometimes an adventure in itself to figure out where it's buried online, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Debbie.
Yep.
Appreciate it. All right, next item on the agenda is public commentary. Anybody have any comment? Eric.
Like I said, I don't want to stand and talk with my pocketbooks, especially David Moss. Don't get it, spinning distance either. I did have a comment. It's on the bypass. We've had a long history of the bypass. Since 1974, it's been out there, it's been discussed, it's been up and down. And one of the things that we've talked about in the past is that sometimes it's hard for you guys to be able to get into the weeds on any given topic. There's so many things that are going on in our county that it's really hard to delve into it. So you rely on staff and you rely on other parties to be able to inform you as to how to move forward. Looking at the bypass, I mean, I've gone back in, Debbie helped me and got me some documents that I was able to go back and look at some of the historical components. When you look back to 1993, when they were completing the traffic count studies that were going to be part of the planning process, they were having, they had 108 accidents that occurred during that time frame. The traffic study that was done, the safety study that was done between 2011 and 2013 for the Oakland area, we only had 6 accidents. So we've already had a drop in what were accidents. So the safety component appears to be working with some of the things that they've done. Timing the lights better, changing the corner at Oak and Third. You know, that was one of the biggest complaints in the past records that was there. Moving forward, most of this, they were looking at in the 1993 to 95 time frame, was that we were having projected 2% increase in traffic every single year. Since that time, it was 2006 to current, we've actually had a 12% decrease in overall traffic in those same traffic zones that they were projecting to have a 2% increase. Looking at the current CTP under the bypass, when you look down at the bottom here, they're showing what our current traffic totals are and what their projected totals are. For the next 18 years to 2035, they're projecting that we're going to have a 2.5 increase total, which is a total increase of 200 cars by their count and their projections. Looking at the overall, we know the county needs infrastructure. We know that things help spur economic development. One of the concerns with Engage Mountain Maryland and with the GOBA committee that I'm working on with the economic vitality is how is that going to impact downtown? There's a transportation study that we got from the United States Department of Transportation, and they looked at small communities that were less than 3,000 in population and having bypasses and what they did. They were devastating to most of those communities. What we're seeing and what we're hearing is showing that that would occur. Looking at what the safety issues now have come to with some of the changes that we've made, you know, we've progressed dramatically. We've lowered that threshold for safety. Even during the time that they had studied, they were showing that we were below the state average for what accidents were during that 93 completion time. So moving forward, once something has begun planning, Maryland Department of Transportation does not typically remove a planning project unless under the Maryland Code of Transportation, Title 8, Highway Subtitle 6, Construction and Maintenance, Part 2. When you get all the way down to the final subsection on there, and it's on deletions of an item. Any item for the preliminary or secondary system may be deleted if the secretary, with the approval of the local legislative delegation and the local governing body, determines the deletion is desirable. When we're looking at the fiscal note that's happening with this, and for 200 cars, the increase of 200 cars over 18 years, fiscally that's not even sound. I don't know anybody that would think that that was remotely. I mean, if we were to take the money that they're talking about, because it has to be used for transportation components only, and made some of the changes that need to be done in downtown Oakland, we would probably end up decreasing even what little we have now. The transportation study that they're looking to do for the truck study, if that ended up moving some of the trucks away from the Oakland area, because right now it's only 1%, just over 1% of the total traffic that comes through the town is semi-trucks. That would alleviate probably that 200, and we would have no change in traffic totals. I'm asking that you look at the Kumar, get into the weeds a little bit on this, and think about the fiscal responsibility of us as a county and us as a state, and get this removed, and let's move on to projects that are more economically sound and help with our development in the future.
Thank you.
Can I just stand here?
Yep.
And actually, I have a statement from Dr. Alvarez, who's in the OR right now, was hoping to get here, and got it, and she doesn't make it. She said, drag your feet as long as you can, but...
Please don't do that.
Well, I make you guys not be
Nothing against her, we just need to keep it moving.
Anyway, my name's Debbie Ward, and I think some of you know me. I'm a resident of Mountain Lake Park, and as you know, I've been part of a group that has been opposing the Oakland bypass, which now has been called various things, including the 9th Street Extended Truck Route, but same road, different name. So it was stated, and it had been stated, and there was an article in the paper by Councilman Moyer, Jay, I'm only saying this because it was in print, that Senator Edwards had suggested if Oakland does not move forward with its request for funding for this bypass, that will have a negative effect on any future highway funding projects for Garrett County. To me, this seems absurd, and I would hope that the SHA and Governor Hogan would applaud and respect a local government that listens to its constituents and has the courage to state that this project does not merit funding, that it has more negative effect than positive ones. Again, I'm asking that, like Eric said, thank you very much for what you did, that the proposed Oakland bypass or the 9th Street extended truck route, whatever anyone calls it, be deleted from the highway project list.
Thank you.
Do I have to be Dr. Alvarez, or can we wait?
Does anybody else have any other questions or comments? Mark.
Mark Stutzman with Engagement on Maryland. We posted a public survey just because the last time this issue was discussed was in 2007, and Mayor and Town Council has decided to uphold the position of that vote back in 2007. Since then, the Town Council has changed some seats, and the public has not been invited to participate in the process. So we did conduct this survey. We've only gotten roughly 95 respondents so far, but you can see there's no overwhelming opposition.
You can't hear that, Mark. You can't hear.
We've had some competing conversations. Okay. But anyway, the online survey showed about 95 respondents, and of those, it's an overwhelming opposition to the bypass. And what's interesting, I thought, from the survey, was that there's a large number of people responding from a countywide perspective as opposed to just from Oakland. Deer Park had the least response. So I think people are viewing this as a countywide issue. And rather than just specifically an Oakland issue. So the fact that this decision is lying in the hands of just the town of Oakland, I think people are seeing that as possibly a conflict of the full perspective of the county. So anyway, I just want to leave that with you guys.
Thank you.
Dave. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Mellon. I'm a citizen here at the county, have been for several years. I speak in favor of the Oakland bypass and the commission that the town of Oakland has initiated with the cooperation of the Board of County Commissioners. I do not feel that this bypass is going to be devastating to the Oakland business community, and I sincerely ask, where do you think people are going to go if there's a bypass? The Red House? I don't think so. You got banks, you got credit unions, you got insurance companies, you have antique stores, you got food service opportunities. Those, the consumer public is going to still come into Oakland. Providing an alternate route for people who want to go through to, say, 135 and go out to Deer Park or Mountain Lake Park or on down south to that house, I feel that that helps Oakland. It speeds the through traffic, the access to parking places, etc. So, I'm sorry, but I rise in favor of it and encourage the commission to move forward. Thank you.
Anyone else? Frank.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Frank Schaff. I'm a resident of Mountain Lake Park. I'm speaking for myself as a private citizen. I am a board member of GOBA. I'm a board member of the Garrett County Arts Council. We're both represented here today. I spent many years in economic development, I think, as you know, and the bypass has been an issue since I arrived in 2001 that continued to perplex the decision-making folks at the state level, at the county level, and at the town level on what was the right thing to do. And having had the advantage of or the opportunity to serve in economic development, I got to see these things firsthand and appreciate the work that the state and the county does on transportation issues. I honestly feel that in today's time, and with today's evolution of the county and evolution of Oakland and the greater Oakland, Mount Lake Park, Lachlan, metropolis, for lack of a better word, I think the favorable decision at this point would not be not to proceed with the bypass, but to try to, if not delete it, put it on a hold status. I think the idea of an alternate truck route that would divert the truck traffic that isn't going to stop in Oakland for a gas stop or for a food stop or to go to the bank. If there is a way to look at an alternative for that traffic, using either Sand Flat or 495, I'm not a transportation engineer, so whether or not those are practical, I don't know. But I do feel, wearing my citizen hat, looking at the things that Oakland is trying to do, that the Mount Lake Park and Lachlan folks are trying to do to build a sense of community, a sense of commerce, a sense of local, I think the bypass is 180 degrees out of sync with those efforts. My personal opinion, I'd advise or ask the county commissioners to look at that and to not act in a hasty fashion when we do have the opportunity to do something right that will have a 50-year plus impact on this community. Thank you.
Ma'am.
My name is Gloria Salazar, and I've been a resident of Garrett County since 1979, and so I've been around for the previous rounds of bypass discussions. I left for 12 years. I left Garrett County just after 9/11. But I came back, and one of the primary reasons I came back was because of the town of Oakland, the town where my daughter was born and raised, and it's always had that charm of being a town smaller than 2,000. I have since returned to work in downtown Oakland and have become involved in some of the activities in town. This past summer, David, what we noticed in town, we had a large roads project going on this summer. We had a river that runs under the town that needed to be addressed. Merchants in the town of Oakland this summer experienced anywhere from 12 to 15% decrease in revenue during the summer month. And the only difference between this summer and previous summers is that the roads were not tied up with large construction and trucks dealing with the river that runs under Oakland. The proposed project is going to take, I'm assuming, how many, 2 to 3 years? What do you propose to do for the local merchants who during that time period can expect at least a 12 to 15% decrease in revenue over that 3 year period of time? What do you expect will be left in the town of Oakland, thriving businesses? What will be left after that construction project literally destroys the population of revenue that we have? So I personally, we've been through this before. It's very deja vu to be sitting in this room this afternoon for me. I urge you, talk to the merchants in Oakland, get their opinions, because they're the ones that support the community with their businesses. And I personally urge you to delete the proposed truck route or bypass. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ma'am.
My name is Lisa Tolles, and I'm living down Main Street, well, 219 business owner. And I completely understand the remarks this lady just made. We too felt a big difference in our business this summer because of the construction and just the mess that was going on in our local town streets. The biggest problem that Oakland has is the truck traffic. It's parking for our people and buy merchandise just to see what we have to offer, art-wise, show-wise, whatever. Just coming in here tonight, park up the right of the road just to come to a meeting. There's no parking. Trying to park parallel on 219 in a few spaces, it costs you your life. Yes, the businesses in Oakland will suffer dramatically. You may not think so, but you are not a business owner. You're not depending on
that. We need to keep these comments directed to us,
okay,
please.
Well, I'm just saying, but people that do not own a business are not directly affected by that lack of income have no idea what it's like when you're depending on that income to feed your family, to pay your mortgage, to pay your taxes to Garrett County. There's a lot of people that have up and left because of all this. It's cheaper to go somewhere else. If I want all the turmoil, I'll go back to Baltimore where I had a business. I made a lot more money. That's not why I moved here. I moved here for the quaintness, for the quiet. I just had family up from Centerville, Maryland over the weekend enjoying their fest. And they're from a quiet town, nothing like Oakland. We're much nicer and quieter and just more charm. And they were amazed. And couldn't say enough wonderful things, how you can just walk around town and the businesses. There's a lot of empty businesses too, and there's gonna be a lot more of them empty when the small businesses, which is what makes up Oakland, there's a few big complete businesses, but they'll survive no matter what. It's the mom and pop shops. And I think it's time that our town, Google, commissioners, anyone else starts taking into consideration, first of all, your businesses in Oakland and the townspeople's feelings. This bit with feeling that we're never going to get any funding for projects from the state of Maryland again, if we take say no to this, that's a bunch of hogwash. I've talked to Governor Hogan before. He's very interested in our county. And to think that is just going back decades and sticking our heads in the sand in our relationship with the governor. Right. I too would wish you would just not hold off, delete it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I apologize if I didn't rise earlier.
That's okay.
One of the observations that I've made in my business, and I've only been there for a year, but about 25%, and this is just casual observation talking to people when they come in, about 25% of the people that come into my gallery, and I would assume it's that number or higher for other museums and galleries, we're not destinations for people to stop in. The 25% that I see, they drive by on 219, see my business, and pull over and come in. Or maybe on the way back, they'll stop, and I've done that myself in other towns. You'll kind of looking around, and on the way back, you'll stop. And with a bypass, I am concerned that through traffic, especially if it's not impacting the flow of traffic in general commerce, divert that traffic is going to allow that non-destination traffic that we see as businesses when people come through on their way to somewhere else, perhaps, and they're like, oh, it's a pretty cool place. I'm going to stop and take a look around. Again, that's been my observation. It's not empirical, but I thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Mike.
I'm a little confused. You guys have to make a decision on whether to delete this or keep it as a priority. If only 1% of the traffic is trucks, and if the accident rate is less than average for the state, and if there's no growth in traffic, and we know that these kinds of large construction projects are very disruptive to the communities where they're taking up land and breaking up transportation routes and stuff. What's the argument for proceeding? Why would you guys proceed with this kind of a project? With this project?
Well, I think right now.
What are the benefits that outweigh those?
Well, I think directly to your question, the way this works, as Debbie explained in the beginning, we reach out to the towns. The towns send in what they want as a priority, and this was a priority that Oakland sent in. So the immediate answer to your question is we have to take that in very serious, you know, consideration. That was a request of the town. So part of that's going to be talking with those folks and seeing what they were elected by the citizens of this town, and they're putting that forth as their priority. So from our perspective, we're not in those meetings and we're not privy to that information. So why is it there now because of that? Are we going to delete it right now because of this? No, we need to talk to those people and get their thoughts. And I'm not going to say it's going to be there, it's not going to be there, but there's other information to gather. And I'm sure there's another side to that. That's my take from it.
Okay. So you don't see the benefits right now either, so you want to talk to them and sort of explore why is this their priority?
Well, according to the state highway, and we did talk with them at Mako, you know, they cite safety issues, they cite that type of stuff. I mean, they're presenting a different argument. So there is other information out there, and that's coming from directly from the funding source. Does that answer your question, Mike?
No.
Well, I mean,
we're not here to take action on this today. We're here to listen.
Right. But if you talked once, is there anyone else that has not spoken that would like to speak? Let's go over here first and then over here.
As far as I'm concerned, and I've been here since 74, this meeting itself is a testimonial as to why the road should have been built 30 years ago. And you're not building the road for statistics of today, you're building it for any anticipated growth that this poor county could possibly drum up in the next 30 years. That's what you're building the bypass for. If the bypass had been put in back then, nobody could talk about it now. We have a Deer Park bypass on 135, and you put it in 1959. You can't get this one without riding on 135. That road didn't exist till then. It wasn't called the Deer Park bypass. But anything new nowadays carries a stigma with it. You're not doing this for the statistics of today. You're doing it so that we don't have this meeting 30 years from now when the county's still stagnating. It's part of a plan to make things easier to get around. We had a guy 10 years ago that had a place out here in the Southern Industrial Park, and he's probably not as doing the business he was back then either. But he was for this bypass. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about things at this end of the county and getting people in and out of here faster. I won't bring up the gas truck that almost blew the place up 5 or 6 years ago. That's just a small thing that may never happen again. Probably wouldn't happen on a straight stretch of road.
Thanks.
That's all.
Thanks. Ma'am.
I just want to introduce myself. I'm Don Alvarez, MD, and a board-certified orthopedic surgeon. And I started orthopedics here in Garrett County 30 years ago. I spent my entire life working here in my hometown. Much of my work has been centered around helping people who have had unfortunate events, many because safety regulations were not followed. This includes farm injuries, work injuries, motor vehicle collisions. I know personally what not maintaining safety can do. I have researched it and reviewed as much safety information as I could find on this bypass for over 10 years. In the past, I have discussed my safety research at these meetings. I actually gave a presentation about 10 years ago. But today I want to tell you about last Sunday. My father is 97 years old. He was the first general surgeon here in Garrett County and helped to get our hospital started. Sunday I took him for a car ride. I try to do that every week. He lives on a 30-mile-an-hour road between a high school, a church, and it's a residential area. He told me how sad he was about how fast and careless people drive now. He wondered how many accidents and traumas I have to see because of this behavior. I told him about the plan for a 50-mile-an-hour road through our town limits, emptying on High Street, near the high school, and then to 135 to 19 intersection, a quarter mile from his home. He said he thought this was a very bad idea. I told him I was going to a meeting to help make our streets safer and not build this road. And I'm all about safety, guys. He said, oh, Donna, they won't listen. My past and continuing research about this road, it's a 0.5 miles from two nursing homes, three schools, cuts right through residential Oakland, has confirmed that we need to stop and ask, who is this for? What I am asking is for support for our local law enforcement and medical response teams. How about we take $1 million that the state will use to pay the SHA internal employees to review the regulations concerning the significant impact of this road and use it to really help our safety on our country roads in Oakland, our county roads in Oakland. This would include electronic management of speeding and aggressive driving, help with enforcement of speed limits, and re-educate our drivers. We should spend money on safety improvements, not increasing speed of our current traffic.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
retired, but a lifelong resident, and like anyone else, been to a lot of these meetings, so we all take our time to speak up and say what we think. So one of my friends from school is now deceased, who was the mayor of Mount Lake Park, and he was an adamant opposer of the bypass. So I'm speaking on his behalf, and I don't see Carolyn Corey here today, who is the mayor of Loughlin, and she had gone on record at previous meetings of being opposed. So those two townships, along with Oakland, and now the county, should be able to, I think, communicate with one another, listening to the people. And I myself, I'm a business person, and I know what it's like when you don't have traffic, you don't have customers, bottom line. So let's everybody not take sides or talk to each other in a way that's not becoming the citizens that we are in this county. Whether you're brand new, been here 3 years as a business, or you've been established for many years, doesn't matter. We can deal with this in a very civilized manner if we just keep our mind open. Don't think that because we promised Walmart maybe, oh, they need a back door for delivery if you stay here and build here. Let's forget all that. Let's live in the moment, looking to the future with the same enthusiasm with the founders of this town, and my father, one included, who served as mayor for 20 years. Let's kind of rethink this, get rid of this idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Just a final thought that someone brought up about new people coming to town. Oftentimes on a Sunday afternoon in my job in downtown, I will meet visitors who have found their way to downtown Oakland. And there's not a whole lot open on Sundays, but they come in anyway because they want to experience the charm of our town. If we have a bypass, we're going to lose foot traffic and miss out on the new people that are deliberately moving here to Oakland. I met a couple yesterday. They moved their whole family here from Nebraska. They did the research. They found that Garrett County school system is stellar. They have one child left in high school, so they relocated to the northern part of the county. If there had been a bypass here the first time that they had traveled, do you think they would have seen the town of Oakland if they had just driven? We've all done, well, at least I've done cross-country trips. I take the bypass any time I'm in one big city. So we're going to lose people finding our town if they just take the automatic exit that says bypass. Thank you. Again, thank you so much.
Mike?
Well, you mentioned in the administrative meeting back there that you're well into the budget process and you're going to be hearing presentations from the different departments about their requests for money. And as I understood it, I don't want to change the topic, but as I understood it, those are going to be in this room and open to the public. So the fact that elected officials from Oakland requested something isn't sufficient to say this is meritorious. In fact, you could probably come up with examples of politicians that have made requests that aren't in the greater interest. So I mean, one thing you might want to, and you guys have continued sort of the tradition of trying to be fiscally responsible. Now, these kinds of big investments usually are prioritized and evaluated according to benefit cost analysis. And it's still not clear to me what the benefits are. The cost of disrupting the community, as we just heard, the benefits are certainly not truck traffic and accidents and things like that. I don't know if that's available for this kind of a project, but I think I would sort of hope that you guys would at least try to put together a report like that that could be public before you make sort of decisions. Because, I mean, you really need to know what those benefits and costs and those trade-offs are.
Eric?
I brought with me, this is a document that came from the Garrett Counties for Smart Growth. This is nearly 900 signatures that signed a petition back in 06 before the planning had actually been finalized. They were representing, I mean, I went through and looked at almost every single name in here, and I was amazed at how many people I knew and how many of them are actually from Oakland. It represented, you know, a really strong opposition that was ignored then. And it was done at a time when typically citizens were ignored for the benefit of those that may get somewhere else with them. This year shows you what was happening then. Historically, this has continued. People have gotten to the point, just like other contentious items, that they're burned out. So we don't have, you know, 100 people showing up here. But we're seeing and talking to those folks, and they are upset. They don't want to do this again. We start looking at what Oakland's like. When 219, the bypass isn't built, 3rd Street reverts back to the town. They're going to have to pay for maintenance. The property that's being acquired by State Highway Administration is being taken off of our tax rolls. These aren't fiscally smart things to be doing in this time, especially looking at the new statistics that are coming out from the State Highway Administration. These are their traffic counts. These are their CTP numbers that they put in their documents, you know, that were supplied by them. It's hard, again, for you guys to be able to, in that short amount of time, with, you know, with staff and that, to get a good overall sense of what historically has come about in some items. Jim's been here, you know, in the courthouse for a long time, so he knows about a lot of these things. But I would hope, you know, again, that we start thinking fiscally smart, that we start thinking about what is going to happen with economic development, how do we better that and spend that money more wisely to make our small, great town better. And thank you guys for all the time you've taken with us.
Thank you. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Last comment.
I just have one comment in addition to things. We need to not only look at what it's going to do to businesses, what's it going to do to property values in the areas? I own a home on my street, and the couple that I have living in that property right now have told me if that goes through, they want to move because they don't want to be. Look at the construction, how long and how detoured areas that we all travel are going to be torn off, detoured, rerouted for a few trucks. And I think that's another part of it that we need to look at as well.
Thanks, everybody, for the comments. Appreciate it. Our next meeting is here on March 5th. I do want to announce that Lindsay Pack is here and gave a presentation to us prior in the administrative session about the pipeline at Hancock. If anybody has any questions about that, you can see him after the meeting. If you want to raise your hand out in the hallway. At this point in time, we are going to close our meeting and go to executive session to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of employees or officials over whom this public body has jurisdiction, basically for personnel matters. So, do I have a motion to move to executive session?
Did you get that, Renee?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
How are you?